morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church, therefore the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret them from Holy Scripture.
Amen. Timotheus, good morning.
Good morning to you.
You bring your umbrella today?
No.
All right, bro.
I should have.
I've got mine.
Well, see, I didn't see the clouds when I came to work this morning.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Yeah. So you're getting in early now these days?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, early.
And you're loving it? Every minute of it?
Yes.
Amen. That's the way. That's the way.
I'm trying to keep a good attitude.
Amen. That's where it starts.
There you go.
Everything starts in the mind.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So a thought, reap a deed. So a deed, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a character. So a character, reap a life. So a life, reap a destiny. That's how it begins right there. All in the mind.
Yeah.
As a man thinketh, so he becomes.
There you go. Amen.
This is a broadcast paid for by the church. You say that all the time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so what else do you? You say something else along with that as a highly trained broadcast professional.
That the opinions of myself or you are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, our parent company that owns us.
There you go.
So it's our opinions, not theirs.
That's exactly right.
Because this is paid programming. And look at there.
Let's go for the phone lines.
Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Brother Tim. Tufik Saad here. How are you this morning?
I am just fine, Tufik. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, and please send my regards to Pastor Jerry by your side.
You just did, Tufik. How are you, brother?
Doing fine. Very blessed.
Amen. Amen.
My question for you this morning is, you mentioned something in your sermon about hell, something along the line of the gnashing of the teeth and weeping and such.
Yes.
If the body stays in the grave, what part of the being is going to experience those physical and mental emotions?
Wonderful question. Wonderful question, Tufik. You can hang on or hang up, whichever one you want. If you want to hang on, we'll answer the question. You may have some input there.
All right. I'll go ahead and hang on.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me. There are two things we need to consider when we think about the body after the body is dead. The spirit leaves the body. That means the body is dead. James 2:26 so tells us. The Bible never speaks of the body of the lost person.
Hmm.
It only speaks about the future body of the saved person. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 15. That's found when he talks about the body sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Those still don't give us exactly what we want to know. So we turn over to 1 John 3. And John tells us there that we are children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. There's an old hymn, we'll be like him, we'll be like him. And that's true, we're going to have a body like his. Now, what kind of body did he have after the resurrection? He had a body that could eat. He had a body that could communicate. He had a body looked much like his body before his death, burial, and resurrection. His body has forever changed. Jesus has a spiritual body, yes, a glorified body, yes, but he has a physical body. There is a physicality to our eternity. That's a whole other question right there. But the body for the saint is a body like Jesus, young, vibrant, alive, can take nourishment, can walk through walls, seemingly can be in one location one moment, and simply by thinking about it can be in another one. Wow, that just amazes me, and it makes me so happy to believe that we're going to have a body like Jesus. Now, said all that to say this, the Bible is woefully silent about the body of the lost person, except we have a picture. It's as if Jesus knew we would be talking about this, and we have. For 2,000 years plus, we talk about what happens when we die. Luke 16, two men lived, two men died. One was taken to Abraham's bosom, which was a type of heaven. The other man was buried. And in hell, he lift his eyes, being in torments. We don't know exactly what kind of body he had there, but many people believe that it's the same kind of physical body that can feel pain, that can remember. Remember, he said, Father Abraham, I've got five brothers back there. Send Lazarus back. So he did have memory. He could remember. And if you're going to experience pain, you're going to have some kind of body. So I'd love to be able to tell you book, chapter, and verse, but I can't, except to say it's going to be a body that can feel pain. And it will feel pain throughout all eternity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25 tells us. And there'll be no rest day or night. That's a body. That's a body. Maybe much like the body we have here in this world. The lost person that dies, whose body may have been wreaked with disease because of his sinfulness or her sinfulness. Is that the kind of body they're going to have? I see pictures occasionally of people in the newspaper who have been arrested for drug abuse, and maybe they've got a before picture and an after picture. Are they going to have to spend all eternity with that kind of body? I'm just asking. I like you, brother. I'm asking. The Bible doesn't say exactly what kind of body we're going to have, except it will be a body that will be in pain.
In torment.
Smoke sendeth upward forever and ever. There's no rest. Is no rest day or night. And that is the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. I don't.
That's all there is.
I start to say, and now the rest. That is the rest of the story. Do you have a comment, Tufi?
Thank you so much. That answers my question, and it makes a lot of sense. And as always, You explain it so eloquently and based on God's word.
Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you, Tufi.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 789-0318. If you have a call or a question, you know, or a comment, maybe you could pass that along to us, 606-789-0318, or you could email your questions to us at godspointofview@yahoo.com.
I'm holding on to my cup, Timofey.
And you're admiring that coffee cup, really.
I'm not admiring it.
Well,
I'm not admiring
it. Kind of got it up there on a pedestal kind of thing.
I'm looking at it real closely so that I can tell the beloved not to buy this kind of cup ever again.
When I first came in, folks, I tried to pick it up.
It doesn't have a rough thing in the middle to where you can hold on to it.
Yeah.
And I spilled it. Fortunately, cleaned the mess up because Mommy taught me to do that. When I make a mess, I clean it up. And I was just looking at the cup so that we'll be careful not to buy that cup again, beloved.
is the beloved listening this morning, you think? I mean, I certainly hope so.
Our three granddaughters. We
little
keep
angels
them on
running around.
And Friday.
What do you mean we? How do you say we if you were here and
collectively,
she's there?
Collectively,
okay.
As a family.
All right.
So we've got Caroline, and she's soon to be six. We've got Annabelle, and she's five. And we got Millie, soon to be three. Two of them are going to start. We're going to be homeschooling them beginning school year. And Millie will be going to preschool at the Little Light Academy over in Highland.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of things going on, as everybody does. 7890318 or
God's Point of View at yahoo.com.
And so, Timotheus, let's just go to the old email. What do you say, Pat?
I would think that'd be a good idea, especially if we have an email that came in.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a good thing to do.
Get on the interweb. The interweb. So we'll take these in the order that they came.
Uh-oh. Multiple
questions. Yeah, we have three.
Great.
And there's a fourth one there, which I think is an advertisement. I don't know what Spectrum is. Since I don't know what it is, maybe I shouldn't be saying it on the air. You think?
Well, I know. Isn't there some kind of vitamin or something?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Anyway, here's a question, brief question, to the point. Some might call it succinct.
Succinct, uh-huh. To the point.
It says, explain John 3:16.
Explain it?
Yeah, John 3:16, explain it. So, we've all been watching the ball game, and there's a shot from center field getting in, looking right down home plate, and all of a sudden somebody stands up with a sign.
John 3:16.
We see that a lot at sporting events. John 3:16 sometimes is graffiti. Mm-hmm. On underpasses. We've seen that too, haven't we, Timothy?
Yes.
But we've never been guilty of doing it.
Seen it painted on faces of ballplayers.
Sure. Yeah. One comes to mind. What's his name?
Tebow. Tim Tebow.
Yeah. We talked about him a little bit last night, didn't we?
Yeah, you sure did.
So some entertainers have even thrown in a twist and replaced John with something else, 3:16.
That one I don't know about.
Yeah, you don't need to know.
Don't want to know about it. So why is it so important?
Why is John 3:16? Why not Hebrews 4:7? How about Romans 5:13? John 3:16 is in the public eye, and is abused from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because it is the greatest, statement about the salvation of the world that could ever be made. Yeah. And it simply says this. I'm reading now from the New International Version, 1983 edition.
There you go.
There's some problems with some later NIVs. But this is the 1983. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Yeah.
I love it. To be fair, let's give a couple of other translations. Here's the King James, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A lot of folks don't know what the word begotten means, and so the NIV says his one and only. Mm-hmm. One and only. I think that helps folks understand the Bible a little better. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the New King James, Timotheus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Two more. New American Standard Bible, one of my favorites. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And the Living Bible, a paraphrase, John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, and there's so many other translations we could use, but not necessary.
I think we pretty much got it.
We got it. That gives people a variety, and they all say the same thing.
Yeah. Just worded a little differently.
There's always a caveat, or a fishhook, I like to call it. In any scripture, you pull a scripture out of its contextual design, and you take a text out of its context, and you've got a
con.
And if you do that with this verse, it's the same.
Yeah.
So, what's going on in the third chapter of John? What is going on? I've got my handy King James Bible right here, Timotheus. I didn't turn it to John 3. It's just there. Isn't that something? So here's how it starts. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, now he begins a lengthy discussion here about the new birth. And he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is like a lot of us. He's thinking materially. Mm-hmm. And so he says unto Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? That's a good question.
That is a good
can
question.
He enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
No.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what those words mean. I say unto thee, except a man be born. Now he's getting more specific. Of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you link, say, Mark 16:16 here, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. This is the same gist here. He's talking about being born of the water and of the Spirit. That's an inclusion of water baptism.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of preachers don't believe that, and I know that, but that's what I believe. I believe that's what it teaches. And by the way, I think it teaches that in the context of the discussion with Nicodemus, because water is all over John chapter 3. Verse 23, if we go on over past John 3:16, and John was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Baptism is all through John chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So Jesus begins talking about being born of the Spirit. The Spirit, who can understand the Spirit? So Jesus uses an analogy. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We can't see the Spirit of God, but we see the results of the Spirit of God. You see a person who says they're born again, they're going to be different. They're going to be changed. They're going to be transformed. You can't have the same old as you were before.
Be doing the same things.
Be doing the same things.
Yeah.
You can't be running with the same crowd. You can't be drinking the same liquor. You can't smoke that dope. Listen, folks, there must be a transformation. John 3:16, and he continues, we speak what we know. He says, I've told you earthly things and you believe not. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? The whole context here is leading up to John 3:16 and about being born again. And so when Jesus gets to John 3:16, we forget who he's talking to. He's talking to Nicodemus. He's telling him, all through this chapter, God loves you. And God wants to save you. And the Son of Man has come. God sent his only begotten Son to save fallen mankind. Mm-hmm. And he says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that mean everybody? Well, it does if you keep it in context. Here's what the context means. It means that every human being has the right to come to Jesus. Now, just believe, is that all you got to do? Well, we know that's not so because the devils believe and tremble. So keep it in context. He's talking about a person who is genuinely wanting Christ in their lives and their genuinely penitent, they're genuinely wanting to obey that person, whoever that person may be, black, white, brown, yellow, purple. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are, what race you may be. It doesn't matter. You're a person. You got blood coursing through your veins. God made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the earth, Acts 17 says. So when he says, whosoever believeth, he's talking about anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Timotheus, anybody can become somebody in Jesus' body. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Bum on the street, president in the White House. Yes, even the president.
El Presidente.
So John 3:16 is offering a blanket invitation, but there's some things it doesn't cover. That's why we have the rest of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a belief system. You got to understand repentance, and you got to turn from it. You got to have a broken heart. You got to be willing to confess Christ, to be baptized, which is being buried with Him in baptism. Romans chapter 6. So yes, John 3:16. Whosoever believeth shall have eternal life, everlasting life. That's a general statement.
But just to say, oh, I believe that God sent Jesus here and that Jesus went back to be with the Father, I believe that, so I'm in good shape.
Well, you're absolutely right.
No, nah.
That's giving mental assent.
Yeah.
You see, we're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So your mind is where the mental, I believe it intellectually.
Yeah.
But do you believe it with your heart?
Yep. Not the pumper.
Not the pumper, not the blood pumper,
yeah.
but the heart of man, the
true
soul
life.
Of man, down
true
deep belief. Inside. I want change. I know I can't live my life on my own terms. I'm going to die and go to hell, as the brother called earlier was asking about.
You know, I was thinking, I have a son, and to think that I would give my son for somebody so they could be saved from something, then that person just kind of flippantly, well, I'm glad you did that for me. Thank you, brother. And just goes on. No, there's more to that. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about God.
Yeah.
We're talking about God that sent his son that was perfect. That was the ultimate gift given.
Yes, sir.
And you can't just flippantly say, oh, I believe and live any way you want to. It
cannot.
Doesn't work that way.
You cannot.
You need to think about the seriousness of the gift that has been given to
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. And we don't want to be, and I've had a tendency over the years to do this, don't be so focused on making sure that everybody understands everything exactly like you understand it.
Yeah.
Because you see, I've come to my understanding of things, based on my experiences of life. You've come to your understanding based on yours. So we've got to try to remove ourselves from the picture and say, what's required? How is a person to feel? I don't know how everybody feels about any particular item. I've seen some people come to Christ very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some people come to Christ crying. I've seen some people come to Christ shouting. I've seen, it depends. The thing we need to do is change people's hearts.
Yeah.
One of the mistakes we make in churches of Christ is that we start with baptism. We should never start there.
Yeah.
Baptism is a result of a changed life, a heart that wants to serve Christ, a broken heart. God wants, as Charles Swindoll said one time, God wants the moist eye, the broken, the contrite heart, and the bent knee. That's what God wants. He wants a person broken. I think we've baptized too many people who weren't broken.
Mm, I agree.
We need to be broken.
Understand what we have done and who we are.
And repent of it.
Amen.
Change our way of thinking. That's my explanation and Timotheus' explanation of John 3:16. I don't. What else can we add? Someone may want to call and add something to it as we move on with the emails this morning, 7890318, or
godspointofview@yahoo.com.
All right. So there's one down. We've got two more. Here's a question that kind of goes along with the caller's two-fixed question. He mentioned his name, so it's all right for us to mention it. This has to do with funerals. This has to do with one of the most difficult things that pastors have to deal with, and that's funerals.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I would imagine speaking at a funeral of a Christ believer would be very inspiring and could be a celebration, even though the family is losing that person here on earth. Well, I'll attest to that. I've been many of those over the years, hundreds of them. And they are celebrations.
Yeah,
and we have a good time. I've said, Timotheus, you've heard me say this, unless you were napping up in the tape of the sound booth. I've said that some of the best times I've ever had in the Lord have been at funerals.
Mm-hmm.
I love.
I wasn't napping, and we do not have things anymore.
That dates me, doesn't it?
It does.
At least I didn't say real to real.
True.
Yeah, when we started the broadcast looking to Jesus, we were doing it on real to real. Back probably 79, 80, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see, where am I now?
Best times at funerals.
Yeah, best time. Yeah. All right. Now, the emailer says, the querist says, I say that to ask this. How and what do you say at a funeral service of a non-believer? How and what? Jesus didn't perform funeral services, he goes on, and leave a lot of guidance on this topic with his ministry. Anytime Jesus showed up to a funeral, it suddenly became a reverse funeral. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it always ended with the resurrection. So, the question is, how and what do you say? at a funeral service of a non-believer? Well, first and foremost, let me tell you some things not to do. Don't ignore the person in the casket. This person in the casket, we're talking about non-believers now.
Yes.
Person that died.
Never professed Christ.
Never professed Christ. Nobody expects them to ever see him again in heaven. Nobody is. But everybody comes to wants to hear what the preacher's got to say. Now, let's face it. People like to nitpick. And so they go, well, he said what? Would you all, if you've done that, would you quit?
Yeah.
Would you help us preachers by praying for us?
Yeah, it's extremely hard.
It's extremely hard. And so what we're trying to do is to encourage a family, but we're also wanting to acknowledge that this person that has just died and is now in this narrow house appointed for all living. By the way, Timotheus, you and I are going to be in that narrow house one of these days.
We'll be there, brother.
And the nitpickers are going to be there.
Yeah.
I conducted a funeral a number of years ago for a lady who had been in the nursing home for years, hadn't been able to go to church, and her one of her family members asked me, while we were visiting the nursing home, preacher, would you care to come visit with mom? And would you care to do her funeral when she dies? And I said, I'd be happy to. She did die in a few days, and I did do the funeral. She was a sound mind when I talked with her. She believed in Christ. She had been baptized many years ago as a young girl. And after the funeral, I got a phone call from someone telling me that I should have mentioned all the bad things that she had done in her life. And I said, why in the world would I do that? And this person said, well, the people have a right to know. I said, the people have no rights to know. That's between the deceased and God.
Yep.
And I didn't know any negative things about her, and I would not have told them had I known them. As far as I'm concerned, she was saved. She was with the Lord Jesus, and that's what I focused on, and that's what I encouraged the family with. And by the way, I said to the caller, don't ever call me again.
You said that?
I said that. I did. And
you're a man of God.
And he never did. He never did. I am a man of God, and that's why I can say that.
Amen.
Yeah. So,
you reckon, I wonder if that person serves the God of grace.
Well, I hope he receives. I hope he receives grace. I really do, because he's gone now. He died several years ago.
Wow!
I hope he's receiving grace.
I mean, I do. I don't mean to do bad things, but I'm sure I do, and I fail every day at something. I can start listing them today if you'd like. We don't have that much time.
I don't really need to know. I've got a list over here already.
But
I've got a mental list.
We're not perfect, and that's why the Lord gives us grace.
Amen.
He knows our heart.
Absolutely. So don't focus on negativity. Don't focus on what might have been, what could have, should have, would have. Call attention to the person that's in the narrow house, that's in the casket, and talk about their life in this regard. This person was loved.
Yep.
This person was loved of God. God loved this person. When this person was born, this person was born into a home with a loving mother, loving father. You may have to reword that some, because it may not have been that way. But this person was raised in a home to know love. This person had brothers and sisters. This person knew about family. This person was blessed to be born in a good old U.S. of A. This person had a job. He worked hard. His word was his bond. He served the military. It depends on what situation, what characteristics. But my point is this. Be positive about the person's life.
Because you're not going to change it now.
No. But also be honest.
Yeah.
Be honest. And so, so many times I've had that to happen. And after I enumerate those things that I just stated, I will then come back and say, but you know, I have regrets about this. Because I regret that he wasn't a Christian. I regret that he didn't understand church membership. I regret that he never knew the joy of praising God in public corporate service. I regret. Talk about, don't ignore him.
Yeah.
The family understands all of that. They just need someone to give them some hope. And then I like to close with something like this. David sinned greatly before God.
Amen.
And because of his sin, he had three choices of punishment. We don't get three. David got three. You can be on the run, you can be hungry, or you can place yourself in the hands of God and trust God. And David said, oh, let me not fall into the hands of men. let me fall into the hands of God. And I say, we're leaving him in the hands of God who does all things well. That's what I do.
Yeah. Amen. It is a tough situation. And then I have heard, I hate to say this, but it's true, people that are in the casket never profess the Lord, and somebody preaching them right into heaven.
Yeah.
And
it happens too.
That is...
We leave all judgment to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Even though we may think we know, we've got to leave it to God. I'm not qualified to judge.
No. No. We can make a righteous judgment on people that live.
We can't.
Based on the Word.
We can't.
But eternal punishment? Nah, it's not us.
Leave it to the Lord. What good does it do? Condemnation never helps. Accommodation does.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's going to do it for this edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd love to invite you to services. Sunday morning Sunday school is at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. And don't forget about looking to Jesus, 7 a.m. Sunday morning, right here at WSIP. Thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.